Headstuff Studios in Dublin. Welcome to Mother Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Derek O'Shea. This is a two-part show today, and in the first part, we're going to be looking specifically at that words from Ireland part. I'm going to be talking with Jodie Coogan about some hyper-no-English words, specifically Munster slang, and we're going to talk about whether these words come from Irish or not, or if there's a different origin, and topics of that nature. After the break, we will be then talking to some of our regular contributors about the Irish oral and irregular verbs. Hope you'll join us. One of the Irish words that I got a lot of queries about, a lot of resistance to my definition, was some time back I said that there is no Irish word for Egypt. And technically this is true. My view is that, yes, while we have Amadons and so forth and many other words for fools, Egypt is specifically a formation of idiot phoneticized the way we pronounce it here with that soft G, that kind of the Egypt. And similarly, the reason I say that it doesn't directly translate to a word like Amadon is if you had a word like, if you're translating from another language, say Russian, like the Dostoevsky novel, The Idiot, if you translate that as the Egypt, people, that would not be correct. So it exists in a kind of a, the word Egypt exists in a specific place in hyper-no-English that doesn't exactly touch the Irish language, but is very uniquely Irish. I'm joined today by Jodie Coogan. Jodie is doing a PhD in Queen's in medieval Irish. In addition to his academic qualifications, he's here in today's capacity as a Corkman. And we are going to talk about certain points of Cork slang. Do the words come from Irish, or have they come from somewhere else in the experience of speaking English in Ireland? So, Jodie, tell me this. The word gowl, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is silly billy and 10 is the C word, how rude is gowl?
You're moving up the scale there, I think. Yeah, definitely. At least 8, I think.
At least an 8.
It's strong. It's a strong word.
So, your ma wouldn't say it?
Not lightly.
Your da wouldn't say it?
Bit lighter, maybe, but a little bit more frequently, maybe, yeah. But it is strong, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that gowl is a word that's always been there? It's not like a recent arrival?
No, I suppose kind of the opposite. I would hear it less. It's something more of, I would say, my parents' generation, a bit more. Mm-hmm. I suppose there's a geographical thing as well, depending where, mm-hmm. you know, I you'd probably hear it more in the city centre.
My mum is from Ballinlough. And so I have some cousins down in Cork. And
very good.
The impression I got that was ever since the arrival of Cork characters and gift grub and certain basically cultural appropriation of Cork idioms by the rest of the country has made some Cork people abandon some of these expressions, particularly gowl and langer.
Yeah, and they are two very good examples. Because I think, yeah, even you saying that, I don't know if I realise that, but I probably do it. It does become a bit of a caricature, and so you avoid it a bit. You know,
yes.
If I say langer, I'm very aware of it. Like, you know, it is always tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Gowl, maybe a little bit less so. Definitely, well, you know, the langer song, like, you know, it becomes a joke. You know?
That's right. We may even have a clip of that.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Corky be known as a langer. A langer. A langer.
But yes, for me, I think that, say, I mean, I was aware of langer. I think possibly that langer did increase in use when Bernard Langer became well known as a golfer.
Yeah.
And it's possible that that may have just brought attention to it, but clearly it predated him.
Yeah.
Specifically with gowl now, gowl is, there is a debate about the actual origin of gowl.
Yeah.
In fact, and this is one of these situations where it's very interesting to a linguist because
absolutely,
when you have two possible strong candidates, you have to work out which one makes more sense. So the two purported origins of gowl are
So gowl, I suppose
gowl, which would mean a gowl. Fork, but also a crotch.
Crotch, indeed, yeah. Or then gowl, G-A-L-L, meaning a foreigner,
basically. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the thing that some people say, that it was the word gowl was basically used because foreigners were maybe silly, weren't acquainted with the local traditions. And then gowl, the other expression, would obviously mean less, usually a crotch, a vagina.
Yeah.
It was a general term. And I think this is probably a stronger claim, because gowl does is actually slang for a vagina, as well as being slang for an idiot.
That's a really good point. It's funny that, I mean, because you still see gowl meaning fork, obviously in signage, in its primary meaning.
Gowl benager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Booth Junction.
And it's, as far as I know, I could be wrong though, but it's a river somewhere and it's feminine. But generally, it's masculine, as far as I know, which I suppose is just the whole thing to do with rivers.
This is the thing. This is there's language gender, and there's also a gender.
That's
gender.
Right.
So it's one of these funny things, all right.
The latter one there, yeah. But I think it's a good point you make about, it probably, that's the stronger candidate for.
And also, there's the issue that sometimes when a word actually has two possible uses, or that sometimes when a secondary use comes along, it actually reinforces use of the word. So it doesn't necessarily mean that gall is absolutely wrong. It just means that it has two origins, or it has an origin, and the secondary meaning, I guess, supplements things.
Yeah, you do come across that as well with earlier stages of the language. You'll get two or more maybe good candidates for the origin of a word, maybe in English, and it can be hard to decide.
For sure. And there's another, obviously, the other very popular, well-known Cork expression is langer.
Yeah.
And the story we've heard in school is that, because, and first of all, should we mention that langer is very uniquely Cork, say that there's some expressions that I think gowl goes sometimes a bit beyond, as more of a Munster.
Yeah.
And that you hear it, and say sometimes you'd hear, sometimes cities have their own particular points, like say kid isn't a uniquely Limerick expression, but is used far more in Limerick than anywhere else. Dead on isn't uniquely Belfast, but it's used far more in Belfast than anywhere else. Whereas langer, there's an argument to say that because it's so local, it must be linked to Cork's unique history, and particularly the Royal Munster Fusiliers.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about them and what they got into?
And this is something that I originally learned from following your own Twitter account. So it's to do with the monkeys.
Yes. The langer monkeys, when they were in India, apparently were stealing equipment and just generally behaving in an inappropriate and uncooperative manner.
Which is a beautiful history. Like, if that is actually the origin, I'm picking up use of that word. I'm going to double my usage from now on if that's,
absolutely.
That's the origin.
And then similar, as an opposite term to gowl, langer is also used very specifically to refer to a penis.
Yes.
As well as a person who has penis-like qualities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is a bit of a penis.
Exactly. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
So, and sometimes people say that this is because the langer monkey has a long tail.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no actual, we have no factual basis for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than wishful thinking.
I sense a research grant application coming on.
Absolutely, yeah. especially in Queens with all that free money you guys are getting
now. We'll have to cash in on that, sure.
Absolutely.
Just on a point you made earlier, though, I did see Rubber Bandits, maybe a bit tongue-in-cheek, but they did, at some stage, either tweet or put it up on Facebook that they said, langer is used in Limerick as well, apparently, and I never knew that. That could be quite a recent thing then,
Yes.
Yeah.
I think possibly, I mean, there's been an influx of Cork people into Limerick ever since the foundation of UL. And so I'm sure we can track it directly to the 1980s.
True enough, absolutely, yeah.
But then I was doing some more research myself on the langer issue. And while I don't have a smoking gun, we're not going to have a massive revelation today. But what I have discovered is some sound-alikes, which is basically that it occurred to me that normally, say, if someone's annoying, and you have a word to describe annoying people, and typically we have dicks, we have pricks, we have schmucks, we have all these words for people in different languages, which do basically have their origins in what's a word for a penis.
Yeah.
And say, I think schmuck, it was originally kind of a protruding piece of jewelry, which became then slang for penis, which then became slang for a person who's like a penis. And then similarly, I thought that my theory was that based on my particular theory of language, a word that means a genital and an idiot usually means a genital first.
Yeah.
And doesn't go backwards. It tends to go in that sense.
The physical thing.
Something that looks like a willy. Then person who is like a willy.
Yeah.
So in that sense, what I found is there is a word in Irish, not a widely used word in Irish, is longer, which means something swinging from side to side.
That's really good. That is really good.
And then long, is because obviously of Cork's unique maritime history is a ship or a vessel containing things.
Yeah.
And it's, and I mean, adding an ER at the end isn't inconceivable in the way that forms normally happen. So it's...
That's true, yeah.
For if something was to be uniquely Cork, it is possible that there is... It's not inconceivable that we have a word for something that swings around being a swing word for Willie and words for ships, particularly containing ships.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realms of possibility that something like that can happen in a maritime town.
That's quite true, yeah. Yeah.
And are there any other, say, obviously I am from Dublin, and while I do have Cork cousins, is there a possibility, are there Cork slang words that haven't actually broken out yet, or do you not want to share them?
Yeah, I keep an eye out for this, like, and that's the thing, you don't hear it too often. It does depend where you are. Like, there's obviously, like, kind of throwaway phrases like doucha.
Doucha.
Chalk it down. you know. But again, they could be monster, they could be even wider, you know, but I think you see it less and less, you know, really distinctly.
But I have here's the other question. I mean, and so this used to, I guess we used to not get our heads around this. Sometimes Cork people just have to be different. And why do you just call it grads and everyone else calls it Debs? The Debs, your final dance in school.
It's a good one, though, yeah. Grads. I think there's a bit of internal disagreement about that, though, because now at the stage you'll get some schools calling them Debs.
I mean, I think
historically it was grads in Cork and
Debs. Historically, it's grads. And it wouldn't surprise me if Cork actually had grad balls before the rest of the country had Debs balls because of the merchant tradition. But as long as I have seen some schools in Dublin start referring to it as their prom.
Yeah, no, that's a step too far. Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't go. I'd stay at home that night.
Absolutely. You couldn't. Make a stand.
I wouldn't go to any prom.
Can you imagine a prom? I mean, like, it's the classic end of a movie where someone kind of runs into the prom and makes a big dramatic entrance, but it's a debutante ball.
Yeah.
A graduation ball.
Yeah.
And is it true that it's grads for girls' schools and those boys' schools?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, okay. I think we've all learned something today.
Yeah, a wealth of knowledge. About all sorts of things, yeah.
If there are any local Irish expressions or even widespread Irish expressions that you have heard that surprise you and you want to know if they have their origins in the Irish language or not, please do message the show. You can message the Irish Forum. You can contact us on the Facebook page. And you can let us know your thoughts. If you have a theory about the origin of Langer, we'd like to hear it. If you have found the secret manuscript that Michael Collins is carrying that day, which contains the origin of the word Langer, we want to see it.
Please, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hopefully it wasn't damaged that day.
Yeah, you'd be surprised now what survives.
Absolutely, indeed. Yeah. And so, Jody, thank you very much.
Thanks a million. Cheers.
Great stuff. Thank you, Jody. After the break, we're going to be moving away from these rude Munster swear words. We're having a roundtable discussion with some of the regular contributors about regular verbs and the Irish oral examination.
Hello, my name is Alison Spittle. I'm a podcaster, yeah. That's the one. We got it? Hi, wait there. Hi, my name is... Hello. I don't know why I'm sounding American. Hi, I'm Alison Spittle. This is my actual accent. I present the Alison Spittle Show. You can hear that every Wednesday on the... Not every Wednesday. Don't be too keen. You can hear that every second Wednesday on the Headstuff Podcast Network, which you can hear on headstuff.org. Thank you.
A regular verb. A regular verb. Is a verb that follows normal, regular, if you will, rules that if you've never seen it before, you can work out just from looking at it what it is in the past, what it is in the present, what it is in the future, and so on. Not all verbs are like this. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the ones that are irregular. It won't be as scary as you think. And I'm joined today by...
I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
I'm Ala Majekadumi.
I'm Clodagh McGinley.
Fáilte rash, Clodagh, by the way.
Oh, girl, I'm being a mug with the Yara.
You're up to your eyes in study recently.
College was killing me slowly, yeah.
Ouch.
It was real fun. Real fun.
What kind of stuff were you up to there?
I was doing my final year dissertation on handedness and language learning, which I mentioned when I was on the Mother Folklore Twitter. So,
excellent.
You all know what it is.
Handedness.
Anyway. Handedness, like right and left hand.
Of course. And was this inspired by your own left-handedness?
No, it actually wasn't. It was just kind of random. Like, I wanted to find something interesting to do. And then I found that ambidexterity is linked with much more successful language learning. So if you can train yourself to write with both hands, then you'll learn a language much better.
Fantastic.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, it actually is.
Even irregular verbs.
Yes.
Yeah, today we're just going to have a little look at irregular verbs in general, but mainly in Irish, and just, you know, and see where it takes us. You know, because I mentioned before in the podcast that French has over 350 irregular verbs. English has 370 or more. But Irish only has 11.
Whoa. Spooky.
Yeah, ooh.
I think it's important to remember, though, as well, that some of the verbs that are irregular in a lot of languages, like to have, we don't formulate it as a verb in Irish. So we use the urm, earth, air, eerie, that one that you were forced to learn as a child, which a lot of you may still have. So that they're like common irregular verbs, and to, you know, so we don't formulate that as a verb. So there's one, at least we could have 12, but we only have 11.
Well, yeah, so it's still nice and low.
Yeah, I remember my teacher going on about like Brehir Nav Rialta in school, and I just never really copped on, I think.
I think you do kind of pick them up though naturally. Like, I mean, you always know, you know, B is tall. Like, you know that instantaneously from the first time that you learn Irish. So the earlier you learn them, the better, I would say.
Yeah, I'm doing grinds at the minute with some students, and I know the first thing I'll say when we do the class on irregular verbs is you likely know all of these already, but you just don't realize it because they're so common.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. Yeah.
They're always the ones in most languages that they're the same. It's always I am, I go, I come, I, those kind of ones, the ones that you use in like everyday speech, those are the ones.
Specifically, I imagine that might be a fact that they detach themselves from normal verb patterns because they get used so often, whereas you need to have a standard form for verbs you hardly ever use.
Exactly. And I find that's probably the way with newer verbs as well. Like the verb to Google is a regular verb. I'd imagine. I think it is. It is regular, right? Yeah. I Google. Yeah. I Googled. I will Google. Yeah, it's regular. but more, like newer verbs, verbs that we create in modern era tend to be regular. I text is one. It's because people sometimes say I texted, but I would always say I text in the past tense, so I don't put the ed on the end of it. But I think that's I don't know what the proper form is, but yeah, most newer verbs go with a regular form.
So yeah, and if, I know that to do and to be are irregular in every language, is what I've been told.
I believe that
allegedly. I'm sure someone's going to message in saying, well, actually, I do it a bit to Catalan myself. I mean, it's not that way in Catalan.
Specifically Catalan.
Yes. I've just been thinking about Catalan all day because someone was using, it was tweeting in Irish, and the Twitter did suggest to translate from Catalan, even though there's no Catalan words in it. I can understand if urum meant something in but not to my knowledge.
I'm slightly upset that Twitter speaks Catalan and not Irish. Like, what? Yeah. Why not minority language? Not that there's anything wrong with Catalan, but like, you know, Irish is pretty popular too, you know?
Seriously, Twitter. Top on.
Get it together.
Because to be fair, even Facebook have Irish as well. So you would think that Twitter would cop on. But and they have Twitter have their headquarters somewhere, don't they? Well, we're, no, maybe not Ireland.
I think it's because Twitter themselves are using external service for, because I think language recognition and language translation are two different
features. Think, like you don't know, like we just spoke to Theresa Lynn about this. I think. Credit her for that information, Dara.
No, I was lucky enough yet to talk to Theresa Lynn and who enlightened me in a number of the topics, including that one. But yeah, typically in Irish, the past tense is actually very simple, and it's one of the easiest past tenses in any language, in that you just stick a little shevu in, you stick that little H in. Some verbs are irregular because their past tense is formed in a different way, and some verbs are irregular because their future tense is formed in a different way. For example,
an example of that would be fag, to get, is for in the past tense.
Yeah.
And it's actually yoig in the future tense. But eh, to eat, is only irregular in the future tense. So it's de in the past tense and eosig in the future tense. It's probably one of the least irregular verbs, if I can say that. But the rest of the verbs kind of have variances in other tenses, but it is probably the most regular of the irregular verbs. But all of them are pretty, like, they're irregular, but they're they're fine. They've 11, like, you don't have that many to learn.
Yeah.
And if you learn the three core tenses, you have all of the other tenses, really, if you just know how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, people do complain about different parts of Irish, but irregulars tends to not be the one you hear people grousing about much compared to another verb construction we could all mention. Yeah. Oh, God, no. We could mention if.
The devil incarnate.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think people tend not to be as... Like, people get upset about a lot of things in Irish, but I don't think it's the irregular verbs so much.
Yeah, maybe because there's only 11 of them.
Yeah,
so.
And you use them so often.
Yeah,
you
know, really kind people of, just don't realise, like you were saying.
Like in English, you don't realise it's an irregular verb until you're like, wow, that's actually really irregular. English is crazy.
English is crazy, and particularly the future tense, just adding a different verb to it. Yeah, and it's crazy. We're just going to go over all 11 and just so you have it all for reference. And so if you're, I know the orals are coming up, don't use this to practice for your orals. Use this to relax after studying. Don't use this to study. Okay. The first one, obviously, is be. So that's V and V may in the past tense, and Tom and Neelam and Beg may in the future tense.
The second one is feck, meaning to see, not the swear word, unfortunately. In the past tense, it is anvacatu. You can say honic me, ni acame. Present tense, anvecantu, fecum, ni ecum, fecci. And anvecitu, ni ecime in the future.
The third one is anyakitu. And you could say cuig me, ni yakime. And undain tu, teum, ni heum, or rocky me. And then unrocky too, knee rocky may.
Or Raig if you're from Munster. Sorry, to squeeze that in there.
Of course.
Then we have Dane, which is to do or to make. We don't distinguish in Irish. It's Rinne or Yin if you're from Munster. On Yarn and Ni Yarn is the question in the past tense. And then in the present tense, it's Dainum, Ni Yainum or An Nainan to. And in the future tense, An Yinfuk to Ni Yainuch. And Dane Hook Me. And that's only irregular in the past tense.
There you go. Nice and easy. So then the next one is to say, which is?
To say, aber. And in the past tense, you can have on nert to, dirt me, ni dirt me. In the present, you can have on yer to, derum, ni derum. And then the future tense, on yer he to, jer he me, ni der he.
And aber is, as we all know, the website for pronouncing Irish words. Made by Trinity. Our.tcd.ie.
Good old Trinners.
Good old Trinity. Apparently Trinity College is for successful people, but if only could think of a quick way to say that.
Wow.
Trinners for winners, yeah. I know. But yes, I'll never know. They let me in as a guest speaker once, but they would never let me in as a student.
Sure they would if you ask nicely.
So the next one is tar. That's come in English. Then past tense is erhonic to, holic me, or ni erhonic me. And then present tense is undongin to, togum, ni hogum. And then future tense is unchucky to, chucky me, ni chucky me.
Tour is the next one to bring. So in the past tense, it's hug, hug me, near hug me, or an er hug to. That's the question form. In the present tense, it's... togun, so togim or nihogim, and then in the future tense turhig, turhig me, nihorhig me, and andorhig me, or andorhig too.
Hug me looks like thug, and that's the famous one, the thug life, thug me, thug too. Oh yeah, it's hug. So bear, catching, look, would be so rug me, and or near rug me, in the past tense, bearum or niverum, and Bearagme or Neverigme for catching. I know, yeah, obviously that's mostly it's in its most irregular in the past tense where you have rug, which seems completely unrelated. And then
the last one that we have is clish, meaning to hear. You can have erhulatu, hulame, near hulame in the past tense. Present tense unglishintu, clishum, ni clishum, and the future tense unglishitu, clishime, ni clishime. And there you have it.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's it. Regular verbs done.
Regular verbs done. So obviously, I mean, we do know that there will be some people listening who might have an oral exam coming up. And as you are all spectacular Irish students who's incredible skill at the Irish language and the Leaving Cert has, and you have a more recent memory of the Leaving Cert than I do, what advice would you give to people going forward to this?
I would give the advice that out of the 7 Leaving Cert subjects I did, Irish was one I didn't count for my, do you know, you count 6 subjects. So I didn't count Irish. And I still studied Irish in college, still translated. So relax, it's going to be grand. It'll be fine. That's my advice.
How about you, Ola?
Yeah, I would literally just say, like, just go in there, do your best, just talk, like, forget about, like, obsessing over grammar, like, just talk and do your best and yeah, just go for it.
How about you, Chloe?
Definitely learn the traffic tour, definitely, because if you mess up straight away, then you're going to feel unconfident, or that may not be a word, but you may be lacking confidence for the rest of the exam. That's what I did, and I completely messed up my oral, fun fact.
Wow.
Yeah, no. But
here you were.
I persevered. Yeah. I got my A2. So there you go. Hey.
Fun fact about my Irish oral. So like before we did our oral, we all were in our like assembly hall. It was like a PE hall, as an assembly hall. Mm-hmm. And the oral examiner came in to like greet us all and say hello and wish us all well. And they had like warned us in advance, and they do like, don't wear anything on your uniform that they might ask questions about. So like we knew that, like not to do that. And this guy rocked in and I was like, oh my God, I know him. So I'd been to Colossal Lurgan for 2 years and he was the principal both years. And I knew him from there and he kind of knew me. So I was like down the back, like trying to wave at him. And like the next day was my Irish oral exam and I had like one Colossal Lurgan pin and I was like, I don't care, I'm wearing that pin. So I like rocked in and I was the only one out of like, however many 60 students wearing anything in the uniform. So obviously he was going to ask and he spotted the pin and he was like, oh, I know you do. And I was like, yes, you do. Yeah. I was delighted with myself. I was like the luckiest student. And in saying that, still didn't go on to get enough points that it mattered. But still, I rocked my oral.
I actually found oral quite fun. Like,
yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Really yeah.
We had an on-uniform day on my oral, so obviously that left plenty of room for them to ask, you know, oh, what made you choose to wear that? And what was an on-uniform day for? And, you know, if you didn't learn the word for charity beforehand, which escapes me now even, it's mortifying.
And I'm guessing you went in dressed as Lady Gaga as usual, yeah?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. I wore my, yeah, no, my meat dress. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, vegans.
Vegan, of course, being a vegetarian is a fuel chantor, but I think a vegan is just a vegan.
Yeah, because it's a vegan comes from the start of vegetarian and the end of vegetarian. So that's where... Yeah, I don't think it works in Irish. So it's because it's, I mean, all words are constructed, but because it's made up kind of in that way, then perhaps it was considered not to be translatable.
I remember when River Phoenix was becoming famous, nobody knew what a vegan was. And when he said he was a vegan, people thought it meant he was from Las Vegas. I know we talk about raising awareness now, but that was one of the earliest examples in my memory of someone coming along and introducing people to a word they just had not heard of before. But yeah, that was that. And finally, so I say, yes, if you are getting that, if you stumble in your oral, you can, have a story to say, oh, like, oh, yeah, and then get back in just about getting confused and find... I know that some people do. An actor told me that when you have an audition and you mess it up, then to have a backup story about being bitten by a dog or something. And they say, oh, sorry about that. I was bitten by a dog. So if you can throw in a story like that, but don't. No, just do the homework that your teachers told you to do. Do that.
My foolproof advice for my students before they sit their oral exam is if they don't understand the question, you say... I didn't hear the question. Can you repeat it? And that's code that all of the examiners know for I didn't understand that question. Ask another. So yeah, make sure you have that in your back pocket as well. Yeah. In your back poker. Yeah. Just for in case you need it. But you'll be grand. Be fine. Leaving cert is fine. You'll pass.
If they ask you a question, go, chance. That gets you out of everything.
Or Anna, just go with
Anna. So, Anna and chance. Those are our two hot oral tips.
I remember actually my oral examiner would just kept on like rolling her eyes at me when I was talking.
What?
Yeah, and she kept on saying Tassam, Tassam, Tassam. Like, I don't know, it just felt like she got sick of me.
It's really passive aggressive.
I hate that. It's like when you're at a job interview and they just start scribbling. It's like,
yeah, but your oral examiner is just paid to be there to listen to you.
Yeah.
During my oral, my examiner asked what I wanted to study in college and I said Irish. And this was after like the aftermath of like me completely messing up the whole Irish oral. And she just goes, okay, right, really.
Chance.
Really. Yeah. Exactly.
But if you do have an interesting story about your oral, or if you want to tell us afterwards, please do contact us on Twitter at motherfucklore at the Irish Four. And, you know, there's Misery Loves Company, and we'd love to hear about it. And you'll probably find that when we share some of these stories, that you realize you're not the only one, and that there's, you know, there's comfort in numbers.
Yeah, and if you have any irregular verb questions as well, please direct them all exclusively at Derek. He loves
that kind of thing. Exactly my bag. So, on that note, it's a slán from me.
And a slán from me.
And a slán from me.
And a slán from me.
We'll catch you next time. Just to clarify, when we say oral stories, we are obviously referring to the Leaving Cert oral examination. I don't know what else you could possibly be referring to, but don't refer to it here.
Yeah, you can talk to us about your French oral exam also. I mean, I don't discriminate between languages and oral exams. But yeah, that's all. I don't want anything else.
So anyway, before we wrap up, I want to say, you know, it would be really cool if you could rate and review us on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much to Brian for producing, as always.
Thanks so much to Kirsten for the art.
Motherfucklore comes out every Friday. If you want to contact us or email the show, please do. What is our email address?
It's motherfucklore@headstuff.org.
Yeah, email us there.
So anyway, on that note, we shall see you next time.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Is that all right? Should we play it back or?